From the Georgia Southern Sports Network, powered by Learfield, this is Inside Eagle Nation, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.
Strike three called, it is well with my soul at J.I. Clement Stadium.
Your all-access look into Eagle Athletics is Inside Eagle Nation.
Toogie with one, a three, and a win it! Got it! Game over!
Let's go to the Learfield studios. Here are your hosts, Colin Lacey and Danny Reed.
Welcome into another edition of Inside Eagle Nation, your official podcast for Georgia Southern Athletics. Colin Lacey alongside the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, having to get a little creative on this week as Georgia Southern women's basketball got the victory this past Saturday up in Atlanta that earned them a berth in the Sun Belt Conference tournament. And with the way the tournament shakes out, we'll dive into that a little bit later on. But we moved on Sunday from Atlanta down to Lafayette, Louisiana, where Georgia Southern will be taking on the Raging Cajuns this evening in the first round of the Sun Belt Tournament. Danny's back in Statesboro after finishing up the game last night against the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. It was weird. I think we saw them in passing. But nonetheless, we are here, and it's another edition of Inside Eagle Nation.
It almost felt like the mirror schedule was back in effect because you're in Lafayette, they came to us. I thought the regular season was over, but apparently another glimpse of that.
That was more of a mirror schedule than we've had all season long.
I know. I was thinking about that too.
But as always, Inside Eagle Nation is presented by our good friends at Arcola Septic. Arcola Septic is your premier septic services provider to Bullock, Bryan, and adjoining counties, and a great family-owned business that's run by a pair of Georgia Southern alumni. Make sure to give them a call at 912-318-7939 or visit them online at arcolaseptic.com. For both commercial and residential customers, their more than 10 years of experience can help you out with pumping and servicing your septic system, drain field repairs, new system installation, and all of your septic needs. Remember to follow them on Facebook, Arcola Septic, yesterday's Meals on Wheels. Now, we've talked the last couple of weeks how it's been a busy week in Eagle Nation. It wasn't necessarily the busiest week this past week as far as the number of events gets concerned, but it was an exciting week. You name a new athletic director, you get a victory over the Georgia Bulldogs for Georgia Southern baseball, a pair of walk-off victories for baseball and softball on Saturday. But I think we've got to start with the new boss man up at the top, as Jared Benko introduced as the director of athletics on Thursday. Now, he won't officially start as the AD until April the 1st, but coming over as the Deputy Director of Athletics and CFO over at Mississippi State. And from everything we've heard over the last almost a week now, everything looks like it is in very, very good hands.
He was introduced to the entire athletic staff in a Monday meeting, and then just yesterday had a chance to have his formal press conference over at the Bishop Fieldhouse right next to Paulson Stadium. There was a meet and greet that took place right before the basketball game, the second round game against the Raging Cajuns. Had him on during the Southern halftime report. Outstanding guy. Not even 40 years old, but you can just tell that he has a wealth of experience. We've known for a while that he has wanted to become an athletic director, and it was nice getting his thoughts on why Georgia Southern is such a good fit for him and his family. They had a chance to come down on Sunday. Eagle One did land in Statesboro, and apparently landed right in time to learn that Georgia Southern baseball had shut out Valparaiso to sweep that series. But it seems like someone who can give a fresh perspective and lead Georgia Southern on the second part of their FBS journey. And so much of this is going to be related to football because we're now 6 years in to the transition. But think about how the other sports improved. I go back to the show that we did to close out last athletic season and how so many of our programs either had tremendous years, were playing for championships, had a chance to win championships, and I am stoked to see where things go with his leadership. A Georgia guy, he's from Watkinsville, went to Oconee County High School, so you know it means a heck of a lot to him to be able to come back to his home state. We know he's a Georgia guy, he went to Georgia, but the fact that he worked for Claude Felton is good enough for me.
Yeah, no doubt. We talked about Claude whenever we were able to visit with him when Georgia Southern men's basketball went up to Athens to play the Georgia Bulldogs. Got to talk to Claude, and he didn't give us any insight as to Jared Benko, but we've got some feelers out, and just to tease it a little bit, you may be hearing from Claude on Inside Eagle Nation the next couple of weeks, but this is a guy in Jared Benko who has had his hand in a lot of different things, especially at Mississippi State. He was over strategic planning, marketing, PR. He was the sport admin for football as well. All of that while also being the CFO. You don't see a whole lot of times where you have somebody as involved in external with the marketing PR side and with the financial side all in one.
The best part of that was that he was integral in the hire of Mike Leach, which, you know, goes to the top of our list right away.
Oh, no doubt. Frank was really stoked about that one.
The amount of experience he has, not just the fact that he has been in an SEC environment over the last 10 years, whether it's been his time at Mississippi State, Auburn, Arkansas, or at Georgia, he has had his hand in a lot of different jars. He has the experience to now lead his own department. And the fact that he's young enough to set a standard and continue that standard for a long tenure, you got to realize he is only the fourth athletic director at Georgia Southern in the last 40 years. From Bucky Wagner to Sam Baker to Tom Kleinlein, now to Jared Benko. That's a legacy of consistency and being able to set a tempo, set a set of ideals that you want to follow because there has been a commitment to staying here. And I think with Jared's willingness to jump right in with Eagle Nation, we've seen how active he has been on social media already. It seems like this is just a great fit.
But welcome once again to Jared Benko, the new athletic director for Georgia Southern Athletics. So we take a look around all the things he's been tweeting about the past week. As Georgia Southern Men's Golf will now host the Schenkel Friday through Sunday over at Forest Heights. You've got the practice round on Thursday, but the official rounds start on Friday through Sunday. If you haven't been able to go out to the Schenkel so far while you're in Eagle Nation, make sure to get out to Forest Heights at some point Friday through Sunday. It is a heck of an experience and a lot of fun to just sit there and watch a lot of really good college golf.
Yeah, we were able to give them a little bit of awareness on Sunday at the baseball game. All four men's golf seniors were part of the first pitch ceremonies. Now, they all didn't throw out first pitches. That was given to Brett Barron, who, a southpaw, didn't realize that he would throw at southpaw. But Alexander DeRosa, Lucas Alacopi, and Jake Maples were also honored. And then Georgia Southern went out and won against Valpo 12-0. So if they could give us some good luck, maybe we could give them some good luck as they try to win the Schenkel for the second straight year over at Forest Heights.
Georgia Southern Women's Golf is in Jacksonville as we speak down at the UNF Collegiate. Started yesterday. We'll finish up today if you're listening to this on time on Tuesday, as hosted by University of North Florida at the Jacksonville Golf and Country Club. So good luck as finishing it out today for head coach Emily Kuhfeld and company. Georgia Southern men's tennis on Sunday was at Winthrop, got the victory over the Winthrop Eagles 5-2. They will have three matches in Statesboro this week, a busy Wallace Tennis Center, as we'll get into a little bit more in just a moment. But on Friday, 10 a.m., the first serve against Youngstown State. ABAC will come in the afternoon about 2:30, and then on Sunday they start off the Sunbelt Conference slate against the Trojans of Troy, 1:30 the first serve out at the Wallace Tennis Center. Georgia Southern women's tennis went 2-1 this past week in the borough, lost on Saturday to the College of Charleston 4-3, and then got a pair of sweeps on Sunday, so a sweep, 7-0 over UNCW, and then got the sweep over ABAC 7-0 in the afternoon on Sunday. They, too, will have three matches over at the Wallace Tennis Center this week. They will host Toledo at 2 o'clock on Wednesday, and then into Sunbelt Conference play. They will face the Raging Cajuns on Saturday at 10 a.m. and ULM on Sunday, 10 a.m., the first serve out in front of Hanner Fieldhouse. Busy weekend across campus as well over at the Shooting Sports Education Center as they hosted the SoCon Championships this past weekend. Georgia Southern finishing it up as Ashley Judson was the Air Rifle Athlete of the Year, the third straight year that Georgia Southern has taken that honor. Obviously, the last 2 years, it was Rosemary Kramer, but Ashley Judson continuing the legacy for Georgia Southern Rifle. And Sandra Warman got the Co-Coach of the Year for the second year in a row.
Gabby Morrow was also a second-team all-conference selection, and getting a chance to look at the deeper roster, all four participants for Georgia Southern at the championships were freshmen. So that should give you a whole lot of confidence. If they can do that in year one, then just think about what the future holds for Sandra Warman, because we know she can coach with back-to-back Coach of the Year honors. I'm just really excited to see what they can do.
Georgia Southern softball started off the Sun Belt Conference slate after having their midweek game against Boston College rained out this past week. Opened up conference slate against ULM over at Eagle Field. Got the victory 9-6 on Friday. Then got the victory on Saturday 4-3. It was a walk-off victory as Faith Shirley had a RBI double to give Georgia Southern a 4-3 victory. the second walk-off of the season for Georgia Southern softball, and then fell on Sunday 6-3, but taking 2 out of 3 to open up Sunbelt Conference play. Not too shabby for Kim Dean and company.
Especially when they could combine that with their hometown hero celebration on Saturday, presented by the Georgia Army National Guard. And then on Sunday, it was their breast cancer awareness game, Strike Out Cancer. Something we found out, they have been wearing different colored ribbons every Sunday home game this season to promote a different cause. And it just so happens that this past Sunday was breast cancer awareness. It was the pink out over at Eagle Field. I would have loved to see them pick up the sweep, but you're not sad at all about starting conference play 2-1. You need to get as many victories as you can to get ready for some of the better teams in the conference, especially those Louisiana Raging Cajuns, who are going to be among the best in the country this year.
It was a Cajun team that fell to Coastal Carolina in their first game of Sunbelt Conference play, and then I think they were a little ticked off the Saturday and Sunday games. But
I guess I would be too, but that's fine.
Georgia Southern women's basketball again got the victory over Georgia State, 77-74, up on the third floor of the Georgia State Sports Arena. I think you were telling me, Danny, it was the first time that Georgia Southern men's and women's basketball had beaten Georgia State up in Atlanta since 1990, I believe you said.
Yeah, and that's mostly our fault because we hadn't won there since 92, but we both did win up there in 1990, so I thought, huh, okay, 30-year anniversary, I guess it was time. But, yeah, and I was following the score while I was calling the Valpo game, the middle game of the series, and while that's a nothing-nothing game going into the ninth inning, I'm looking at the final couple of seconds, and then I see the notification that Tatum Barber makes the go-ahead three, and I'm thinking, okay, we got this. Softball's about to walk off. You guys have a near buzzer beater. That's a crazy Saturday of Eagle action.
It was a game that Georgia Southern led for 36 minutes. Georgia State got out on a 6-0 run to start off the ball game, and at that point, if you're Georgia Southern, you're thinking, uh-oh. This may be going south pretty quickly. But Georgia Southern scores in the next 7 points to take the lead and never relinquish the lead. Georgia State would come back to tie on two separate occasions in the second half. Eagles were up by 10 going into the fourth quarter. Georgia State had tied it at 70 with about a minute and a half to go. But Tatum Barber, as you mentioned, a big three from the left wing put it up 73-70. Again, a final score of 77-74. That game earned Georgia Southern a berth in the Sunbelt Conference Tournament, which is why I'm down in Acadiana, just outside the Cajun Dome as we speak. Georgia Southern women's basketball will face off against the Raging Cajuns. Again, we've talked about it a couple of times already on this podcast, but Georgia Southern women's basketball and the rest of the Sunbelt Conference in a new schedule for the Sunbelt Conference Tournament. The 3 seed, which ended up being UT Arlington, and the 4 seed, which is the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana, hosting 3 other teams. So it's almost a little bit of a pod. So for the Louisiana pod, you've got the Raging Cajuns hosting. You've got Little Rock at the 5. You've got Appalachian State at the 8. And Georgia Southern at the 9. So Georgia Southern will face off against Louisiana tonight, if you're listening to this on time, on Tuesday, 7 o'clock the tip-off. Little Rock and Appalachian State will play inside the Cajun Dome at 3 o'clock. On the other side, you've got UT Arlington hosting 3 other teams as well, but we will get to those when we get to those. But tonight, it's Georgia Southern and the Raging Cajuns, 7 o'clock the tip-off. Theo Howard and I will have the call starting at 6:30. But tune in on gseagles.com. But Georgia Southern men's basketball, they've had a heck of a schedule the last couple of weeks. We've talked about different scheduling options the last couple of weeks, but the one that came to fruition was Georgia Southern after falling to Arkansas State 76-75 in Hanner on Tuesday a week ago to put them as the 5 seed in the Sunbelt Conference Tournament. That was not necessarily what Georgia Southern was looking for, and it was a crazy ending to that game, Danny Reed.
1.9 seconds left, down a point. Elijah McCadden gets fouled. He makes 2 free throws. Trey Dawkins comes in a quick substitution. Georgia Southern pressures without really pressing, I guess is the way that I would put it. Ark State had kind of a floating bounce pass to just get it in bounds. There was contact in the backcourt. Was it a foul? I'm not exactly sure. It was consistent with the way the whistle was blowing in the second half, but I don't believe it was a foul. At any rate, Christian Willis went to the line after 1/10 came off. He was just 61% on the year, but he made both just like McCadden did. Ark State went back up by 1. Unfortunately, Georgia Southern couldn't pick up that victory in the regular season home finale and the senior night for those 6 guys. It was a crushing thing to watch them walk off the floor. The good thing is the way that the tournament format worked out, Georgia Southern was going to host a game, whether it was last night or whether it was tomorrow, but the way that things worked out, the Eagles face the Raging Cajuns on Monday night.
And Bud, I'm going to tell you what, there have been atmospheres inside Hander Fieldhouse before, but the Hander Hooligans really brought it for a postseason game that wasn't planning on being part of the schedule. They were here and they brought it. The Cajuns didn't seem to mind as they made tough shot after tough shot. PJ Hardy, Cedric Russell, and Jalen Johnson just made everything, it seemed, the first two-thirds of the game. Cajuns ended up leading by 11 in the first half. Georgia Southern came back to cut it to one. They were down 49-45 at the half, but you just kept feeling that there was a bigger Georgia Southern run that was going to occur. And it got even more difficult when the lead for the Cajuns was 16 at 69-53 with 11:21 to play. But at that time, the Hooligans got louder, and the defense for Georgia Southern picked up. And the shots that the Cajuns were making a majority of in the first half, those tough shots, they were making 54% from the field. But so many of the makes were right with a hand in the face or from way beyond the arc or just deflections on second-chance opportunities that resulted in easy layups. They were getting bounces. They were making shots. But the Eagle defense picked up, and the Cajuns started missing their looks. They airballed four or five in the second half, and Georgia Southern gradually chipped away like a sculptor trying to put together a masterpiece. And I'm not going to say what the Eagles did on Monday night was a masterpiece, but it ended up being a thriller. They cut it down to 9 with under 7 to play, and then they put together a 12-2 run to finally tie the game, and it was back-to-back threes. Calvin Wishart made it 76-73. Quan Jackson, the next time down the floor, drained one from the top of the key after a pass from Crawley. He had to make it over a 6-9 Duguay, but it was right down the well. Hander exploded. It was 76 up. Still, the Cajuns came back and took an 81-78 lead when P.J. Hardy was left alone on the left wing, and you were wondering, even though Georgia Southern came back from 16 down, was it going to be the night? Were these six seniors going to get one more chance? Isaiah Crawley just wasn't going to get stopped, and the fact that he had to play a good portion of the second half with four fouls, he scored Georgia Southern's last three baskets. His offensive rebound with just over a minute to play, his putback made the score 82-81. Eagles had not led since the 14-minute mark of the first half, and it got even crazier down the stretch as Cedric Russell tried to step back with Simeon Carter helping out, with Elijah McCadden playing defense. Russell did everything he could to free himself. His three went off. The Eagles got the rebound. Calvin Wishart went to the line with 19 seconds left with two shots because he was in the double bonus. Unfortunately, neither went in. Cajuns got the rebound. They got into the front court with 9 seconds left. Both teams called timeouts to see what the other was going to do. And keep this in mind, the Cajuns could have been expecting Georgia Southern to foul. The Eagles had only committed 5 fouls in the half up to that point, and I could see Mark Byington on the far side telling his team to foul, but as we found out on the Ford Locker Room wrap-up from Quan Jackson and Isaiah Crawley, they were only going to foul if the ball went into the backcourt. But the inbounds pass went into Russell. Eagles, I think that Byington still wanted a foul. It was just so loud and so difficult to understand the situation that the Cajuns didn't see the Eagles foul, and maybe that caught them a little off guard. There was a bit of a tie-up near the top of the key towards the right elbow. Quan Jackson about had a steal. The ball ended up in the hands of Malik Wilson, and he somehow got off a shot with less than a second left. It hit the rim. It looked like it was no good from the entire way, but it jumped up into the air. And after they had gotten so many rolls all night long, Hander Fieldhouse got quiet for 2 seconds. The ball came back down, dropped off the rim. The players celebrated. The Hooligans celebrated. If they wore blue and white, they celebrated. It was as thrilling a moment as I can remember. It wasn't the biggest comeback I've seen, but it was maybe the most important comeback of Mark Byington's tenure. 16 down with 11 left to keep the season alive and now go to Atlanta tomorrow night for a chance at a semifinal berth, but it's a quarterfinal matchup, Southern not State, and I can't think of a better opponent for a shot to get to New Orleans than to try to take down State on their home court again after doing it just a couple of weeks ago for the first time since 1992.
Again, that game happening last night, but the first game in a conference tournament that Georgia Southern had hosted inside Hander Fieldhouse since a old TAC championship game against Georgia State.
I would have been 6 years old for that game. I can imagine what it was like inside Hander. Miss Helen may be able to help us out a little bit, but with Wendell Charles and Calvin Sinkfield and Charlton Young and all those guys being able to take down State and go to the NCAA tournament, I've got to think that that was even more of a home court advantage than Hander already is.
Georgia Southern baseball had a heck of a week this past week with 4 wins, 1 against the Georgia Bulldogs coming on Tuesday night, 6-3 up in Foley Field, the Eagle victory, as that one was a lot of fun. You had really started off the ball game, setting the tone for Georgia Southern, as a line drive to center field. Would have been a home run, but Parker Beatier goes up, robs the home run, and it's not one of those. He jumped at the wall, and he may have robbed it, may not have had. His glove was completely over the wall, catching the ball and bringing it back. And it's hard to say that in the bottom of the first inning, two batters into the game, that you're setting the tone, but that game really set the tone.
It took a couple of more innings for Georgia Southern to get on the board, but they were making good contact all evening long, and then they finally broke through, building that 6-0 lead, and then Tyler Owens was just awesome. He had everything working. I think once he got a glimpse of Beatier making that catch to rob the home run, but I think he settled in, and I think he realized, look, I've got my stuff. My guy's got my back. I'm just going to throw, and I'm going to throw really well. And Georgia never really did get to him, just a single run over 6 2/3, and even that didn't score until after he left the game. But even though I didn't get a chance to see it because I was at Hanner with men's basketball, the fact that you got to see a victory over a top five team, especially at Georgia to start the week. And I noticed from the postgame video, the celebration wasn't one where they acted like they won the College World Series. It was very subdued. They acted like they were supposed to win that game. And that's something that I really, really enjoyed. The fact that it was a big win, but for them, it was just another win, and it set them up for what turned out to be a really good week.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. Of act like you've been there. Georgia Southern definitely did. Obviously, they were excited to knock off a number three team, but it was almost like a couple of years ago when Louisiana was ranked in the top 25, and you would knock off Louisiana, which Georgia Southern has done the last couple of years. But it was almost like you were beating a quote-unquote like opponent, which I think Georgia Southern views themselves as a like opponent to Georgia, even though most of the quote-unquote experts won't.
And they should, because baseball, as we know, is just – it's a different animal. Because even if, say, your defense isn't great and your offense isn't great, if you've got one guy that can pitch, you are in every game you can possibly play. We found that out in Game 2 against Valpo over the weekend, which ended up being a 1-0 walk-off. But, heck, we were scoreless until two outs in the bottom of the ninth because of how well Valpo pitched. Well, look at what Tyler Owens did. He shut down one of the nation's best offenses, and Georgia Southern put some really good swings. We saw RBI knocks from Swan and from Avan. A Christian tied a career high with three RBIs, the start of what was a really good week for him. And it just seemed that everybody contributed, and they did play good defense because of what Beatier did early. It continued throughout the game, and the offense did enough. And that six, that magic number, you get to six runs if you're Georgia Southern baseball, that's your number. Alan Beck loves that number six. And for the Eagles, they could celebrate that victory, and then they got ready for Valpo this weekend to J.I. Clemens for the last non-conference
weekend series.
They would start it on Friday against the Crusaders, got the victory 8-1 behind Jordan Jackson. A lot of really good things from Jordan Jackson, and you've talked about it mainly the first couple of weeks of the season because you were the only one that has seen him outside of Mike Grace filling in up at East Carolina. I had not seen Jordan Jackson, but Friday night we got to have the full crew in town, and Jordan Jackson went out and did not disappoint.
Well, let's full disclosure here. Full crew at baseball as you would be.
Yeah. You act like we need somebody else.
That's a good point. But yeah, for Jordan, I watched him opening night against Ball State. I liked how quickly he worked. I like how he threw all of his pitches with conviction. I like how I felt he owned the strike zone. Both sides of the plate belonged to him. He ended up striking out 9 that night over 5 scoreless. I know he had a bit of a rough outing against ECU to his standards. He gave up 3 runs over 5 innings. And even last weekend against Radford, when he wasn't at his best, he still went 6 shutout. And it almost felt like it was something that was wrong because he finally gave up a run at J.I. Clemens because of the first time he has done it in his 3 starts. But what helped him, like we're going to talk about with David Johnson on Sunday in a moment, he got early offense. Georgia Southern was so aggressive out of the gates. They got 4 in the first, 2 more in the second. They didn't do a whole lot until the 8th inning, but that was enough because of how well Jackson pitched. And then Thompson coming in behind him, Rhett Gabe was able to finish things off. I really liked how Friday was a tone setter, and it was a comfortable victory for Georgia Southern.
You talked about it on Saturday. It was a 1-0 walk-off victory as Christian Avant had the walk-off delivery, but that was a game where you had Braden Hayes starting on Saturday and has struggled early in ball games so far this season, but is really, from the word go, really set the tone in that one.
I talked to B.J. Green before, and I said, you know, if Braden's good in the first inning today, he's probably going to be all right today.
Well, it turned out he went 7 shutouts, so partly true, but Georgia Southern had to help themselves on defense because Valpo had a lot of opportunities to score. Noah Searcy threw out a run at the plate to end the third inning. Bases were loaded in the top of the fourth. Hayes got an infield fly roll, then he snagged a line drive and doubled off at Crusader at third. It was a high throw to third, but Blake Evans jumped and made a terrific catch, came back down with his foot on the base, so he got out of that jam. Evans made some fine plays at third as well. Austin Thompson made two sterling stops at shortstop. First batter of the game, it was a diving stop in the hole, and then another diving stop in the hole during the sixth inning. So Georgia Southern had to do multiple things defensively to keep the game scoreless. And while they really didn't have offense until the fifth inning, it was 12 up, 12 down before Austin Thompson had a nine-pitch walk to lead off the fifth. They had guys on base each of the final five innings, and it was with two outs with first and second. Mason McWhorter was ready to come home with the walk-off run. Christian Avant found the left center field gap. The crowd of 1,000-plus, which had plenty of dogs on bark at the park and quite a few alumni there for Alumni Day. It was also the 20th anniversary of the 2000 SoCon title team. That was Rodney Hennen's very first team in Statesboro. We spent a lot of time on the broadcast talking about them. But to get all of them back and see a walk-off win, even better.
Then it would move to Sunday afternoon as a 12-0 victory over Valparaiso to take the series sweep over the Crusaders. And Mason McWhorter, well, he did a thing.
He really did a thing. He sure did. It was the third inning. There were bases loaded, one out. It was set up after a drop fly ball in left field. And remember, Georgia Southern hadn't had a grand slam since Mason hit one against App State 2 years ago. Got into a good count and destroyed one over the wall in right center field. It went into Cleaves Pond. I wasn't sure if it did or not, but our great sports info director, Aaron Soka, confirmed that the ball did go into the pond. 4-0 the lead. Very next inning with two outs, bases loaded again. Mason continues to bash the ball, whether it's with guys on or not. Three-run double into the right field corner. He tied his career high with 7 RBIs in the first 4 innings. Georgia Southern scored 5 more after that. Christian Avant hit his first homer of the season on the first pitch that he saw with 2 outs in the bottom of the 8th inning. That resulted in the 12-0 lead. David Johnson needed a good start. He had a good start. He goes 5 2/3, 3 hits, no runs. You saw Nick Jones come in for an inning and a third. Jonathan Edwards got in with 1 batter retired. Griffin Davis has only had a couple of appearances because of bad weather. He was going to start a couple of midweek games, but the Statesboro boys struck out both guys he saw. Tyler Jones came in the 9th inning, and even though a guy got to second before nobody was out, struck out the final 2 batters. And the Eagles, by virtue of taking that 12-0 final, that's their 5th shutout of the year. I'm going to give you a little bit of perspective on what Georgia Southern did last weekend. They didn't give up a run over the final 22 innings of the series. That's their longest streak since they didn't give up a run over 25 innings in the 2016 Sun Belt Tournament down in San Marcos. They only gave up 1 run in 3 games. First time they had done that in a weekend series since they faced VMI back in 2002. They now have a 5-game winning streak going into tonight's game against Georgia up at SRP Park in Augusta. Last 5-game winning streak was April of 2016. But back to those shutouts.
5 already
in the first 14 games of the season. The last time that Georgia Southern had 5 shutouts this early in a season was 1965.
Holy cow.
Yeah. They did it in their first 13 games that year.
And remember, as well as they pitched a year ago down the stretch, they had 6 shutouts all season, which was number 11 in the country. And I know we're extremely early. I know some things have gone a certain way. You could say what you want to about the level of competition, but the fact that you have 5 shutouts already, that is really something. It's number 2 in the country behind Duke that has 6. So you have to love that even the Eagle pitching, which we didn't know what we were going to get in the early stages because guys hadn't filled certain roles yet, I would say they're off to a pretty doggone good start.
They will look to continue it against 2 games against Georgia in the midweek. Again, last Wednesday was supposed to be at SRP Park in Augusta, the home of the Augusta Green Jackets, single-A affiliate of the San Francisco Giants. It got rained out last weekend, so it's moved to tonight if you're listening to this on time on Tuesday. 6:35, the first pitch from Augusta. On Wednesday, they'll make their way back down to Statesboro to J.I. Clement Stadium. 6 o'clock, the first pitch for Georgia Southern and the Georgia Bulldogs. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Sun Belt Conference play is here for Georgia Southern baseball. They'll face off against the Trojans of Troy 6:30 on Friday, 3 o'clock on Saturday, and 1 o'clock on Sunday. And this is a Troy team that hasn't been at necessarily the top of the Sun Belt Conference in the last couple of years, but is always a really tough team under head coach Mark Smart.
Always one of the more respected guys in the country. His teams play quality baseball. They're contact-oriented. They don't strike out a lot.
Drew Frederick is a four-year starter on the infield. He's back again at shortstop. He had a four-hit game over the weekend. They were at the Cox Diamond Invitational down in Pensacola, the tournament that Louisiana was playing in as well. And before we get into the Trojans a little bit more, they actually faced each other on Sunday. Non-conference game. They don't play each other on the weekend this year. That's the one team that each misses. But in a really classy move, head coach Mark Smart and his Trojans, they wore number 36 decals on their helmets to honor the memory of Tony Robichaud. And I thought that was a really, really awesome thing they did for him.
Yeah, and that's just the first of, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, the first of many things you're going to see with 36 around Sunbelt Conference play this year. But the way that Mark Smart runs that program, a lot like we talk about with head coach Rodney Hinton, how he has really built a program over at Troy, and like you mentioned, one of the most respected guys, not just in the Sun Belt Conference, but in the country, and just flat out, Mark Smart does it the right way.
He's got a team that's built on offense so far this year. They might be 9-7, 8-1 at home, but just 1-6 in games played away from Riddle Pace Field, that all-turf facility that we absolutely love to go back to in the Wiregrass. He's got five guys hitting better than 320. Top hitter is the first baseman, William Sullivan, hitting nearly 400, though he did lead the Sunday game against Louisiana with an apparent injury he was collided with at first base, so we'll have to check and see if he is going to be available for the weekend. Caleb Bartolero is batting 388. We already talked about Drew Frederick. He's hitting 387. The natural Rigsby Mosley, the former conference freshman of the year, he's hitting just shy of 350. And Dalton Sinkfield is at 330. Remember, these teams matched up four times last year. Troy won two out of three at Riddle Pace, but the final game went to the Eagles. Tyler Owens went eight innings, a career best. Mason McWhorter hit three home runs, first Eagle to do that since Victor Roach in 2011, a convincing victory in the finale. Gave us a much better 300-mile drive back to Statesboro. And then in the tournament, meeting in the semifinals at Conway, a 1-0 win behind more Tyler Owens pitching. He went six shutout. Nick Jones went the final three. That was the only time that Troy got shutout all of last season, and the only Eagle run came in the top of the fourth inning on a two-out error. So I would think that when these two get together, there's going to be a little bit more, because it just seems that this is a nice rivalry that's been brewing.
Both have had success on the other's home field. I remember Troy taking two of three in Statesboro in 2016, Georgia Southern taking two out of three at Riddle Pace in 2017. But you got to be ready for Troy's frontline arm, and that's Levi Thomas. He's made four starts this year, 23 innings, nine hits, one earned run, six walks, 42 strikeouts.
And he's a guy the last couple of years that we've really talked about, he hasn't necessarily had that dominant year that he's wanted so far. You've seen the glimpses a couple of different times, but now he's really starting to put everything together more consistently.
Well, he's had to be bigger this year because Corey Gill, who was in the weekend rotation last year, he's out for a while because he had offseason surgery. But man, those numbers for Thomas, 23 innings, nine hits, just one run. I know he was dominant earlier this year against Northern Kentucky. He had 16 strikeouts in a game in which he threw less than six innings. So he's doing a thing just like Mason McWhorter is at the plate. And that'll be a nice clash on Friday, as I would think he would get the ball for game one against Jordan Jackson.
That's going to be one to watch.
That is going to be a big-time series as conference play begins all over the league.
Again, that one starts at 6:30 on Friday at J.I. Clement Stadium, 3 o'clock on Saturday, 1 o'clock on Sunday. We have the airtime coverage for you 30 minutes prior for the on-deck circle. As we step into our next segment of this edition of Inside Eagle Nation, we step aside for some True Blue Eagles.
This week's True Blue Eagle of the Week, somebody that everybody around Georgia Southern Athletics has known and has met at least once, if not two or three times, throughout their tenure. It's Bucky Wagner, the former athletic director for Georgia Southern Athletics, served as the AD for Georgia Southern from 1981 until 1995, is most notably credited with the resurrection of football here at Georgia Southern and also the recruitment of bringing Irk Russell down to Statesboro.
That's a pretty big one to put on your resume, to bring Irk Russell down to Statesboro after 17 years as Vince Dooley's defensive coordinator for the Junkyard Dogs of the University of Georgia, winning national championships in 85, 86, and 89. But don't forget what Bucky was also part of, the 1990 national championship in football. Basketball went to the NCAA tournament three times during his tenure when Frank Kearns was the head coach. The baseball team going to the 1990 College World Series under Jack Stallings. So while there was a lot that Bucky did in terms of improving Georgia Southern football in terms of a national stage. As the AD, he oversaw everything, and we can't leave out those incredible memories from the other sports.
Been recognized a couple of different ways. Was the Co-Sports Executive of the Year in 1991 by the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame. And also, most recently, his granddaughter has been a part of Georgia Southern cheerleading,
That's right.
Keeping his mark on this program as this week's True Blue Eagle of the Week, David Wagner. They know him as Bucky Wagner here in Georgia Southern. We'll continue every Monday releasing our next True Blue Eagle of the Week.
Once again, this week's True Blue Eagle of the Week, Bucky Wagner, the former Georgia Southern Athletic Director. We talked about it a little bit earlier when we were talking about Jared Benko coming in as the new AD for Georgia Southern Athletics, that Bucky was one of four ADs over the last 40 years, but had a huge impact on this community.
Yeah, when he was brought in by former President Dale Lick to restart football, or at least be part of the process to help restart football, who knew what that would lead to in Statesboro? Irk Russell was hired May 23rd of 1981. They started practicing on tennis courts. A couple of years later, it was national championship after national championship. The blue and the white became an iconic, not just uniform combination, but an iconic symbol all across college football. And when the amount of success that Eagle Athletics has built over those last 40 seasons, you got to give an enormous amount of credit to Bucky and the standard that he set as soon as he got to Statesboro.
Again, Bucky is this week's True Blue Eagle of the Week. Still rolling around Statesboro. Every once in a while, you'll see him over at Georgia Southern football practice and see him around different events around Georgia Southern athletics. Time now as we will step aside for this week's Beyond the Bio.
Time now for Beyond the Bio with Colin Lacey.
Welcome to another edition of Beyond the Bio here on Inside Eagle Nation, your official podcast for Georgia Southern Athletics. As we step a little bit differently than we normally do for Beyond the Bio, as now we step into the life of one of the student athletes for Georgia Southern women's basketball, is Tatum Barber, a junior guard out of Dallas. And Tatum, take us through how you kind of got to Georgia Southern, where you first thought about Georgia Southern, where you first heard about Georgia Southern.
Well, I really didn't hear about it till probably my junior year. And originally, I kind of wanted to go like a little bit far away from home, just kind of get out of what I was comfortable with, get out of my comfort zone and get kind of far away from home. So when I came on my visit to Statesboro, I just kind of fell in love with the campus, fell in love with the coaches, with the teammates. And a family atmosphere is really something that I was looking for. And I just felt really at home while I was here. Statesboro is really small. I kind of like the small scale, big feeling that we have. And I love football, so that was a big plus for me. But really just the family atmosphere is what drove me to go here.
Where did your love for basketball kind of start? I know you come from an athletic family. Your brother plays baseball at UTSA. Your dad played basketball. Where did your love of basketball really start?
I'm not exactly sure, but I just grew up like around a ton of sports, and I really love like the aggressiveness and the contact and the competitiveness of basketball. So I grew up playing like soccer and volleyball and basketball and track and all that, but like just the competitiveness of basketball is what really stuck with me, and I just grew to fall in love with it, and I just love every part of it.
How much did your brother Taylor kind of bully you a little bit when you were a kid, and how much more did that help you in your development as an athlete?
I'm definitely tougher because of him. He definitely is the reason that I am, like, the way that I am, the aggressiveness that I am. So he definitely was a big part of that. He pushed me to be the best that I could on and off the court. So just him really bullying me when I was little, making me tough, has definitely helped my basketball career today.
No, everybody kind of knows from watching you play over the last 3 years in Statesboro that you're a high energy, going all out all the time on the basketball floor. Where does that come from? Was it your dad? Who kind of instilled that into you?
I honestly think probably a little bit of both. My mom is really loud and outgoing like I am, but then my dad is always, you'll hear him in the stands, he's really loud too. So I like what Coach Howard says, when spirit raises performance, because I really think that's true. So I just love like momentum plays, taking charges and all that in basketball. And I love getting the team right up, and I love just the aggressiveness and the loudness in basketball. So I think just honestly both my parents, because they're both just as loud as me.
You mentioned you're going to hear your dad in the stands whenever he's at the games, and it seems like anywhere we go there's some kind of support for you and this team from your family. How much does that mean to you, being able to go, whether it be the Carolinas, out to Texas? I know you had a lot of people at UT Arlington, but being able to have, whether it be your parents, your grandparents, somebody there supporting you pretty much every game.
It really means a lot. There probably aren't words to describe how much it means to me, but that also was a big part in me choosing Georgia Southern, was knowing that I get to come back home and play UTA. So that was really appealing to me. But just knowing that almost everywhere I go in conference and out of conference that my family's going to be there means a lot, because they really are my support system and why I do this. And so just knowing they always have my back regardless of how I play, but they're just always going to be there to support and love on me, really means a lot.
Now, your family, they could write a book about the travels, some of the things that they've done, whether it be going to split weekends between coming to see you on Thursday, going to see Taylor play baseball on Friday, back to you on Saturday, then back to Taylor on Sunday. Where does that kind of family mentality come from for you guys, and how close have you guys been really all your life?
We've definitely been really close. Me and my brother weren't super close when we were little because, like I said earlier, he did bully me a little bit, and that's why I'm tough. But as we've grown older, me and my brother have definitely gotten a lot closer. So I love every second that I get to spend with him and see him. When we play Texas State, I get to see him a decent amount. So just the closeness of my family really is my support system and why I do this. So just having them close to home and being able to see them when I can really means a lot.
Now, you're about to start your senior year next year here at Georgia Southern, taking more of a leadership role this year especially. How much pride do you take in kind of being one of the leaders of this team now?
I love to lead, and I love taking in the little freshmen and sophomores and helping them grow into their game and kind of figure out who they are. So I love stepping into the leader position. So this year and next year especially, I'm really looking forward to helping the freshmen, the sophomores, the juniors grow and showing them not just leading by words, but leading by actions as well. So I'm really excited to step into that role and to see what it has for me.
Now, I know you've got a little bit of time before you have to make a final decision, but what's kind of the plans for you after you graduate here from Statesboro?
I'm not super sure yet. If basketball wants to continue, I think that would be a really cool opportunity, whether that's going overseas or anything. But I think going overseas would be really cool. But obviously basketball isn't always going to be there. So I think something in the sports world, maybe with media or broadcasting or something like that. Just I love the behind the scenes and being in front of the TV or being behind the camera. I think all that's really cool. But hopefully something still in the sports world.
Now, a couple of days ago, you got the game-winning shot against Georgia State to put Georgia Southern up 73-70 and get the victory, clinch a spot in the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. Again, tonight, Georgia Southern women's basketball going to be playing the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana, the first game of the conference tournament. But knowing you the last 3 years, I would imagine there's nobody else that wanted that shot more than to take that three to put Georgia Southern ahead and clinch the victory. What's going through your mind when you're kind of setting up for that shot and then taking it?
All the coaches love to call me Thirsty T because I'm never afraid to take a shot. I'm never going to back down for a shot. I've never found a shot that I don't like. So nothing really out of the norm is going through my head. I just take the normal shot, but it's really cool to be in that moment and soak it up every second of it, because you don't always get to hit. It wasn't really a game winner, but it kind of was. So soaking up those moments and just enjoying the moment, seeing my team get super hyped. I rewatched the video and Amir's at half court jumping up and down. So it's just really crazy to be in this moment with my team, and I'm enjoying every second of it.
Now, a big part of college athletics is gaining the relationships that you have with your teammates, with some of the people that you meet, and knowing you and seeing you on social media, you're really close with a couple of players on the team especially, but then across different sports across campus. How much does the relationships mean to you of not only the teammates, but really everybody across Georgia Southern?
It really means a lot, especially at Georgia Southern. The whole athletics family is really close. I'm really close with some football players, some volleyball players, some soccer players. I live with a soccer player, so just having the whole athletics know that they have your back and know that they're going to support you no matter what really means a lot, and it's really a close family with the Georgia Southern Athletics.
Finally, before we let you go, this segment's called Beyond the Bio. So seeing you on game day, give us something that people may not know, something beyond your bio.
I always have to put on my left sock, then my right sock, then my left shoe, then my right shoe. Otherwise, I feel like I'm out of whack when I get on the court. I listen to music before I go on the court. I don't really do anything super weird or super superstitious, because I don't really believe in superstitions. But I guess the weird thing that I do is even getting ready in the morning, I have to put left sock, right sock, left shoe, right shoe.
Tatum, appreciate the time, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Once again, that is Tatum Barber finishing up her junior season in Statesboro out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. A couple of weeks ago, when Georgia Southern women's basketball was down in the Fort Worth Metroplex against UT Arlington, there was a lot of barbers in the College Park Center.
Well, that's the one game of the year where they really don't have to worry about selling tickets, because her family alone is going to take care of a section or two.
with Georgia Southern women's basketball. We'll look ahead again if you're listening to this on time on Tuesday. Tonight, Georgia Southern women's basketball will take on the first game in the Sun Belt Conference tournament against the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. As the Cajuns come in 17-12, 10-8 in Sun Belt Conference play, knocked off the Texas State Bobcats on Saturday inside the Cajun Dome, 70-64. But this is a team that has dealt with injuries over the last couple of weeks. We talked about it after Georgia Southern played the Cajuns a couple of weeks ago down in Acadiana, that Andrea Cornoyer, the point guard that really makes especially their defensive side press really work. She was out for that ball game. She is back. But everything really revolves around Tyriana Doucette, the junior out of Villa Platte, Louisiana. 12 points per game, 7.5 rebounds per contest. But at the end of the day, Georgia Southern got the victory over Georgia State to get into the Sun Belt Conference tournament for the first time since the Sun Belt Conference went to not taking all 12 teams. And Georgia Southern is trying to fight to just move down the road a little bit to head down to New Orleans.
Did you tell them we said hi with a smile?
Maybe. I definitely took a picture of that third floor button.
Oh, you have to.
But a heck of a victory by Georgia Southern women's basketball. And now we'll take on the Raging Cajuns again tonight, a 7 o'clock tip-off Central Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And we've talked about my struggles with Central Time before. It has been very well documented. The only thing that will mess me up more is that we stayed Saturday night in Atlanta. Well, Sunday morning was Daylight Savings Time.
Oh, boy.
So you had to move the clock just to move it back whenever you got over the Georgia-Alabama line. Yeah, it was a not good Sunday. Chad Jackson and I were making the drive down Sunday morning. Got into Acadiana about 5 o'clock, but that was a struggle there for a minute.
What, are you sure it was 5 o'clock?
No. The worst part was we were about 50 miles over the Georgia-Alabama line, and Chad, his phone didn't change over to Central Time. And so he's like, wait a minute, is it 10 o'clock or is it 11 o'clock? And I looked at him about as straight-faced as you possibly can and said, you're really asking me this question?
So you're back to normal now. You know that you're playing at 8 o'clock tonight.
I know we're playing at 7 o'clock my time.
That's 8 o'clock our time.
Correct.
And you get the winner of Little Rock and App State on Wednesday, should you win.
Correct. So Little Rock and Appalachian State will play at 3 o'clock Louisiana time inside the Cajun Dome. And thankfully, Louisiana was one of the teams that were hosting this because they got the timing right and they've gotten everything the last couple of days right. Got to hang out with Josh Bruner along with the rest of the SIDs from Little Rock and Appalachian State last night as we got some pretty good Cajun food. Yeah.
Well, I got Jay Walker and Matt Sullivan in Statesboro, so I guess we covered everything.
Yeah, and Craig Melanson is somewhere in between.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's, yeah.
Craig is one of those. He's almost like a help side defender. He's trying to figure out which one he needs to take.
And the thing about Craig, you always know he's going to have some kind of crazy sport code. And I don't know where he gets them, but I can't pull them off. There's a reason why Craig is who Craig is.
Oh, without a doubt. And the best part is he's got the pants to go along with the crazy sport coat.
Well, you gotta.
Well, excuse me, I don't.
What we need to do, if we could find a way to pull this off, I don't know if we could do it for football, but maybe for basketball next year because we're going back to doubleheaders. I wonder if there will be a game where we could both find a crazy sport coat and wear.
Okay, challenge accepted.
Just one game.
Well, if we win, it has to be more than one game.
Well, okay, we'll get to that if we have to get to that point, but we'll have that one game where we both wear crazy sport codes, and if it happens to work out, then we'll look like Josh Showers and Craig Melanson the rest of the year.
It's almost like when JT Crabtree from South Alabama and Josh Showers get together. JT wears the all-red suit. Josh wears the all-royal blue suit.
Yes, it's very patriotic. We were proud of our country.
Man, if we ever ended up in a pod with me, you, Josh, and JT.
Oh, we could make the flag.
I'm not wearing an all-white suit, that much I can tell you.
If all four of us walked together, we'd have people put their heads over their hearts. And, what's everybody doing? We're just trying to get over here.
Have random people saluting us as we walk down the street.
That'd be great.
Once again, 7 o'clock, the tip-off for Georgia Southern women's basketball in Louisiana time. 8 o'clock, back home in the regular time for Georgia Southern women's basketball against the Raging Cajuns in the first round of the Sun Belt Conference Tournament.
Very proud of you. Good work.
Well, I've got it written down in front of me.
That's even better.
Until next week, for the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, this is Colin Lacey saying so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Inside Eagle Nation, powered by Learfield, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.